I was born during World War II. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but you can figure it out. But I was born during World War II. And when I was born, they gave me a ration card because there was a war going on. And the reason for the war was to eliminate the Jews. This was this crazy man in Germany. And then when I got to 20 years old, I was drafted into the army, and they sent me over to Korea. Thank God the Korean conflict, which I never called a war, came to an end, and there was an armistice. But we were still in a war state in Korea. And I'm looking around today, some 50 years later, and nothing has changed. The war drums are beating. There doesn't seem to be anything, any way out of the mess we just got ourselves into. And in the middle of this is the same sore spot that started World War II, the Jews. But now, there are two enemies in this spiritual battle. It's the Christians and the Jews. One's the big Satan, the other's the little Satan, according to the enemies of God. I wasn't going there to talk about war and what we're going through now. War has always been here. I'm going there to tell you that this spiritual battle that has been going on from the beginning of time seems to be coming to a head. And as believers, we were told to watch out for these signs that were going to happen. And one of the signs that God gave us way in the beginning of time is to pay attention to the times and the seasons, and they're called the Moedim, the holy days. Too many people have some crazy understanding that these are Jewish holidays. He gave them to us before the Jewish nation was established. For us to know the times and the seasons of when things are going to be shifting around. God doesn't want his people to be ignorant of what's going on, and he doesn't want us to be afraid. And in his presence, there is no fear. When we step out of it, everything collapses upon us. But those who know my teaching know that I look in the scripture for the mysteries of God. The Bible is a mystery book. And it's revealed to those who search for the mysteries. Those who are willing to look and say, what does that really mean? Not to what somebody else tells you, but what does the Spirit of God say to your soul about a context of Scripture that you're going to read? We can't be reading the Bible in the English language and understand what it meant 2,000 or 4,000 years ago. They have polluted it with their commentaries. So the only commentary you need is the Spirit of God. You need the Spirit of God to come in there and wipe away all the things that don't belong to him. And that's a very difficult task. Tonight we celebrate Yom Teruah. It's the beginning of the fall Moedim, the changing of seasons. And as I said, it has nothing to do with the Jewish people, except for the fact that God gave them to the Jews as keepers of the ordinances. It's only Judaism from that, the day of its very inception, even understands what Yom Teruah is about. The church never celebrated Yom Teruah. They call it the Feast of Trumpets, but they never celebrated it. It's very distant and alien to them. Judaism, like all religion, is a religion of customs and traditions. And many of these customs and traditions have no biblical relationships to them. But it's the customs and traditions that keep us remembering things. We remember things because our parents taught us something. Our parents gave us traditions to follow, whether it be ethnic traditions or religious traditions. We generally follow in the traditions of our forefathers, of our families. And then as we get older and we have our own children, we make up our own traditions, and traditions change over time. But with the Jewish people, it's a strange relationship that they have between God and customs and God and traditions. Do you remember the movie Fiddler on the Roof? It's all about tradition. Tradition, tradition, tradition. But it's tradition that keeps us with the understanding of who God is. If we just started our religious systems back in this century, we would have no idea of the miracles of God. We would not have the holy days any longer, because 2,000 years ago, all the holy days have changed. And Christianity came on the scene and brought in their own customs and traditions for the sole purpose of eliminating the Jewish traditions and customs. And it became you were an outlaw if you tried to observe the Torah or the Jewish holy days. Why? It's a spiritual battle. It's a war that's going on in the heavenlies that we only see the fallout on the earth. It's a battle that has been going on for generations upon generations and generations. And nowhere is there any feast more mysterious than the Feast of Yom Teruah. That's the biblical name for it. The Day of Loud Noises. People think it means the shofar. It does not. It literally means a loud noise. And when we hear it, we hear people calling it Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year, because somewhere along the line, tradition changed, and they made it a Jewish New Year. It surely is not a biblical New Year, because the biblical New Year starts around Passover in the springtime. When life begins anew, it's like the day on the Jewish calendar starts in the evening time, not at 12 o'clock midnight when the world is dead. So God in his infinite wisdom gave us these things, and it's customs and traditions that carry them on. We wouldn't know this. See, every single American thinks the day starts at 12 midnight. It's not the case. Every single American thinks that New Year's January 1, when it's cold and it's miserable and it's damp, except in Florida. But it's not a good time of the year. There are no crops growing. Everything's gone. The grass is no longer green. The flowers are dead. God in his infinite wisdom told us that his New Year was when everything was alive. In the springtime, when the grass grows and the birds are singing and reproduction starts over and over again. And he gave us this, but it's only tradition that keeps it alive. Otherwise, you talk to people in our culture, and they have no concept of what the new year is about. And you talk to Jewish people, and you ask them why Rosh Hashanah is the new year, they have no concept as to why it might be the new year. Tradition. But Rosh Hashanah is the ultimate mystery feast of the Bible. Here's what we do know. It is a day of remembrance, but it doesn't tell us what we're to remember. Strange. That's a mystery. You're to remember with a loud noise. Remember what? It's a day of remembrance, as I said, but we don't know what we're to remember. It's a day of a loud sound, but we don't know what kind of sound. The shofar didn't come in until the Second Temple period. It's a joyous day, a festival, but in utter contradiction, it's a day of wailing and preparation for judgment. So it contradicts itself. It's a day where we can't decide whether to eat apples and honey, pop steamers, or shout, or to beat our chest in introspection. What kind of day is it supposed to be? We're preparing for judgment as we come into Yom Kippur. But if we remember that at one time in the history of the Jewish people, Yom Kippur was the happiest day of the year. Everybody dressed in white. And the reason they dressed in white is because they just came through this 10 days of repentance. And now the nation as a whole came to Yom Kippur. It's a day of the covering. All their sins were covered. God no longer saw their sins, so they dressed in white to rejoice. Today, it's a sad day. They don't eat. They walk around. Nobody wears leather. All the crazy traditions that came in. But the crazy traditions are there to enhance the day. See, tradition is fine in the scriptural sense if it adds to the glory of God. If it's a custom or tradition that takes away from the word of God, then it's not pleasing to him. Tradition is a way that we can go back and look at the scripture. For instance, the scripture tells us that we're supposed to put a mezuzah on our doorpost. It doesn't tell us how. It doesn't tell us anything about it. Just put it on your doorpost. So, tradition tells us you have to do it a certain way. And it's been done a certain way for thousands of years now. It's not biblical. Biblical is put on your doorpost, not to be on an angle, not to be on this side of the door, not to be on this side of the door. You go to the Sephardic Jews, it's over here. You go to the Ashkenazis, it's over here. No, it just says, put it on your doorpost. But tradition kept the concept of putting the mezuzah on the door alive. So it glorifies God. It doesn't glorify God if you're getting in an argument over where it should be. Okay, that makes no sense at all. It glorifies God because he told you, put it on your door, but he doesn't tell you how. And this is where tradition comes in. How did the tradition of blowing the shofar come about? We have two passages in Scripture only about Rosh Hashanah. Numbers 29:1-6 and Leviticus 23. And nowhere does it tell us to blow a shofar. It's just not there. In Hebrew, we find out that if you study it, it's supposed to be a Mikra Kodesh. And the translator translated it as a holy convocation, which means a gathering. But the reality is that in the Hebrew, it literally means not a holy convocation, but a holy proclamation. Where you're to proclaim, you're to speak, it goes in line with the loud noise that you're supposed to make. It's a Yom Teruah, a day of loud noises. Yom Teruah doesn't have anything to do with a shofar. Yom, the day, and Teruah, a loud noise. The day of the loud noise. What kind of noise? It doesn't tell us. So tradition, since the Second Temple period, I said, blow the shofar. It's a good idea. Now, every time somebody hears the shofar, what do they think? It must be Rosh Hashanah. Because the only time in Judaism they blow the shofar is really on Rosh Hashanah or Yom Teruah. But the Bible doesn't tell us to do that. So is it a bad thing that we do things to enhance our worship of God? If it's not taking away from God's glory, but adding to God's glory. See, this is what tradition is. Traditions can be bad, and traditions can be good. The thing is that our responsibility is to teach our children a way that they can remember from generation to generation that they pass it on. So you have to add to it without taking away from the word of God. We know that when we make a loud noise, it could have all different types of indications. What does it mean? Can we get up and yell? Of course we can. Make a loud noise. If you want to get up and yell that God is great, yell God is great. And if that's the tradition you're going to start in your house on the Moedim, where everybody gets up at one time and yells, God is great, that's a good tradition. It doesn't take away from God. It adds to him. It glorifies him. He wants to be glorified. He wants his name to be shouted from the highest mountains. He wants you to proclaim his name and its deeds so that people will know them. So we really don't know what sort of teruah Yahweh had in mind for Rosh Hashanah. So where do we turn? If we can't find it in the Bible, where do we turn? Tradition. Where did it come from? The shofar is one of the wonderful traditions associated with the feast and has caused Yom Teruah continue to this day. I believe if it wasn't for the shofar, that Yom Teruah would have been lost. Because it was only the Jews that kept it. Christianity wanted no part with Yom Teruah. It was only the Jews that from generation to generation, so in their wisdom, they decided, let's add this in there because everybody recognizes the sound today. Are we to remember a loud noise? It doesn't tell us what kind of noise, and it doesn't tell us what to remember. So what are we to do? Do we do what people have been trying to do for thousands of years? For 2,000 years, they tried to make Jewish customs and Jewish traditions disappear. But everything's turning around. All of a sudden now they're trying to make Christian theology disappear. All of a sudden things are changing in a drastic way. No God in this country any longer. See, countries fall from within. And countries fall because people do not remember the traditions and customs of their forefathers. We in America don't understand what our forefathers fought for any longer. We don't understand that they gave us customs and traditions like a day like Thanksgiving. Is it a biblical holy day? No, but what was the idea and the concept about Thanksgiving? It was to thank God after they went through a terrible winter for the produce and what he gave them. And then we have other days where we have Father's Day and Mother's Day. What was it about? It was to give honor to father and to mothers. It doesn't take away from anything. When you start adding things like Halloween, now you're defacing God. Now you're identifying with the evil side. And then when you bring it into your churches and you bring it into your synagogues, and you put pumpkin patches outside and you have your children dressed in costumes of witches and goblins, where's the glory? Where's the glory? See, these days that God gave us, he gave them in a way he said, look, I'm going to tell my people what I want them to do. And I'm going to let them decide how to do it. He knew that his people, if they loved him, would enhance and not take away from what he had in mind. When you have to lie to make a tradition exist, eventually the lie will collapse the tradition. When you take the Christmas story, a man-made holiday, the Mass of Christ, and you take it and you add these three wise men. And then you take it and you have to add the shepherds. And they're all in one place at the exact same time. It doesn't match up with the story that's in the Bible. But yet, people sing it as if it's true. When you take something and you say, well, any day could be my Sabbath. And God tells us that the seventh day is his Sabbath. Where's the glory? Where's the honor? So basically, there's so much I can really go into here, but at nighttime, you're already asleep. So basically, what I'm trying, my point in this message being that many things we do on these Jewish holy days are customs and traditions. But they're customs and traditions that honor God. They don't take anything away. I mean, when we start looking at Rosh Hashanah, we talk about God as King of the universe in one word. And then in the next word, we say, He's the judge of the world. And all these things come to acknowledge who He is. That's a wonderful tradition. These are things that we have to try and understand that when commentators come along and their goal is to take away the traditions of the Jews and replace them with something else, generally what they're going to replace them with is not acceptable to God. For thousands of years, Paul tells us in his writings that to the oracles and the covenants and the promises belong to the Jews. He tells us that in the book of Romans. He was writing the book of Romans to a congregation that was already anti-Semitic. You will almost never hear a teaching in Christianity done on Romans chapter 10, where Paul says, is God finished with the Jews? God forbid that should be so. To the Jews belong this, to the Jews belong that, to the Jews belong this. You see, they don't teach that. And the reason they don't teach that is because there's a replacement mentality, and it's not coming from the people, it's coming from the enemy of God, because if you can replace God with religion, then the devil wins. This is a spiritual battle that is just going on and on. It's the same story in every generation. How do you get rid of God? They're doing that in this country now. How do you get rid of God? There's a law case that started today in Boston. And it was put into place by John Doe. I wonder if he's related to the Doe that started the anti-abortion lawsuit. Why can't they give their name? And what they're trying to say is, we want to take God out of the Pledge of Allegiance. And it's in the highest court in the city, in the state of Massachusetts right now. It started today. Why? We systematically eliminated God from Christianity. And they allowed it to happen because they allowed all the customs and traditions that were passed down from generation to generation disappear. And they allowed all this other stuff to seep in. And where are we now? Look at the mess we're in. Look at the mess. The only good thing about the mess we're in, the Messiah says it's all had to happen before He comes. There's the light. There's the light. We can sit around and moan and groan about all this thing. No, we're defeating ourselves from within just like every culture before us did. You give up your customs and traditions when they enhance God, and you will lose the country. It happened in Rome. Rome was a great empire based on the God of Israel. And then they changed everything. The God of Israel was no really the God of Israel any longer, because Rome was the new Israel. So now it was the God of Rome. And all the customs and traditions that the Roman congregations came into in early Christianity disappeared. And what was left? A godless society. So don't lose hope when you hear all these crazy things going on. Your cry out to God should be, okay, let's go. Bring it on. You said it's going to happen. Your word has to come through, so you might as well bring it on now. But don't lose the customs and traditions that were handed down to us. Don't fall for the lies that the Moedim of God are Jewish holy days. They're not Jewish holy days. He gave them to the world. He didn't give us any other days. He declared these days to be holy unto him. Why in the world would anybody in their right mind want Jerusalem as their capital? There's nothing good about it. The streets are small. It's dusty. It's surrounded by all kinds of enemies. What's so valuable about that? You know, why? The reason there have been more wars fought over Jerusalem than any piece of real estate in the world is because God said it was his city. And because it's his city, it needs to be destroyed. Jerusalem, the city of peace, has never seen peace. See? And again, it's all coming because we lost sight of what God wanted us to do because we refused to accept the traditions that were passed down to us. Because somehow we're told they're Jewish and we can't do it. I will follow the teachings of the sages just as Yeshua followed. Yeshua says, listen to them. Just don't be hypocritical like they are. How do we know about all these things if we threw away all their customs and traditions? How would we know? We wouldn't know. We'd be living with the Roman calendar. Oh, we are. We'd be living with all the days of the week named after pagan deities. We'd be living with all the months of the year named after pagan deities. What's wrong with this? And we think we're godly? I would like you to do is to go back and look at some of the traditions that have been handed down from 3,000 years ago, since just before Yeshua, because Yeshua followed all these traditions. Even when they asked him, your disciples don't wash their hands. That's against our law. They never challenged Yeshua not washing his hands. It was the disciples. So what they were doing was saying, our law, which is a law of bondage, you're not following. We don't have to follow laws that don't glorify God. Like, can you open the refrigerator on Shabbat? What does this have to do with God? But the answer to the question that the rabbis will give you can open the refrigerator if you listen. If the motor's running, you can't open it because you're going to open it, it's going to make a spark, and it's going to start. How silly can you get? What does that have to do with a fire that takes you all day when you run out of fuel to light? Or you can't drive your car on Shabbat. Meanwhile, I see people in my neighborhood, they walk 3 miles in the heat of the Florida sun to get to the shul, where I get in my car and I put the air conditioner on, and I'm where I'm going comfortably. Does God say not to drive a car? Does that glorify God by you not driving a car? Does it glorify God by you getting all these hedges placed around his commandments that they tell you have to follow? No. You know what God wants you to do. And you're the ones that have to make the decision if you're willing to follow them. But don't throw out the traditions because somebody told you. If you look at it and it glorifies God, hang on to the traditions. Because that's the only thing that's keeping us sane. This world is crazy. It's an absolute crazy world we live in. And it hasn't gotten better since 1943. It's only gotten worse. There's nothing better today than there was. Yeah, we have more luxuries, but now we're slaves to the luxuries. People say they have computers. Yeah, they sleep with them. They can't go anywhere without being connected somehow. They walk in the street and they almost get hit by a car because they're texting. We're in a crazy world. We became a different type of slave. We're no longer slaves to the masters. whether it be in Judaism or whether we be African Americans and we were slaves at one time, we are completely different slaves today. And it's a one world government that's enslaving us and we don't see it. They're controlling the internet, they're controlling the banking, every single thing, they're controlling the foods, everything that's going on. We become slaves to that. And God wants us to be free, and the only way we can be free is to follow His word. Let's bow ahead in prayer for a moment.